So, somebody made a comment to me recently in an email saying that they discovered that there is no money and blah, 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 blah. Well, I beg to disagree. I don't agree that there is no money. Of course there's money. What do you have in your wallet? What do you have in your bank account? Obviously there's money, okay? Just because our legal tender currency, which is only one form of money, is based on debt as opposed to assets, does not mean that there is no money. That's a grossly misunderstood or mis-explained or under-explained abbreviated mis-explanation, okay? Money is just anything that you can barter with, anything that has value that you can barter with, okay? And so, now some people don't understand this that well, might say, well, the dollar bills, the, you know, currency, the legal tender currency, the Federal Reserve notes or whatever current country's legal tender that you're holding on to is not backed by gold and silver, not backed by an asset, but I would beg to differ, okay? Okay, it's not backed by metals. Okay, so what? You can't really eat gold. Okay, the only reason why gold and silver has value is because people accept that it has value. Okay? Pieces of paper that you have saying that the United States owes the holder of that note 100 quote dollars or 20 quote dollars or 5 quote dollars or 1 quote dollar is an asset because you are a lawful third party debt collector, in a sense, of the United States. By you holding on to their cash, by you holding on to US dollars, the United States owes you money. So you're the creditor in the creditor debtor relationship. Okay, so that's extremely valuable. It's an asset from one point of view. It's an asset. Holding on to liability funds that somebody else, corporation, person, individual, government, owes you money is an asset. And if you don't think that it's an asset, then anybody listening to this recording who doesn't think that their liability notes that the United States owes the holder of those notes X amount of dollars is not an asset, then please turn all the legal tender that you have, all the Federal Reserve notes and all the legal tender that you have in your bank account. I will gladly accept it if you want to turn it over to me for a donation, because I can do a lot of good things with it. Okay, I can hire additional associates to work with who can put more materials out, reach out to more people, help more people eliminate their debt, help more people to become free and sovereign and get American national passports and learn court procedures and all sorts of things. The more people that I can pay, the more people that get help. So, that's a wonderful asset. I'll take all your donations that you want. So, of course, you see it as an asset because you take those legal tenders and you pay for groceries, you pay your landlord, you pay various different places to get materials. If you go to the electronics store, you use that to pay or barter or exchange or whatever for a stereo or an iPod or a computer, and that's a tangible object. It's an asset. Your computer gives you access to knowledge, information, communication, entertainment, research. So to me, an asset, anything that I can exchange, if you can exchange something for something tangible, then it is an asset. And if everybody accepts it, then it's definitely an asset. It's probably one of the most significant assets. That's why we all would prefer to be paid in legal tender, bills, Federal Reserve notes, etc., because we can easily exchange it. Okay, so I'm not going to go over the stuff that we already know, okay, but I just want to clarify so that people don't oversimplify it and that people don't miss the value in what's going on here. You can really benefit and advance yourself and your financial situation by really understanding this stuff, but by dumbing it down and not really understanding it, it doesn't really benefit you much, I don't think. If you really embrace the system that we live under and understand it and understand it and accept it and learn to live with it, you can profit from it tremendously. Okay, but the type of thinking that it takes to advance your profits from it, or your gains from your knowledge and understanding of it, is not going to go that far, in my opinion, if you believe that there is no money. Okay, so further down the line in our relationship together, I have different private circles of my favorite people on my lists that I meet up with in real life and I do relationships with, and we work with people on different projects, and I set up different sister ventures and business proposals and investors and partnership inner circles, all sorts of various different things. And a lot of them have to do with the people that are the most advanced and knowledgeable and educated and mature in their studies and understanding these things are those people that that I befriend and meet up with in real life and do real profitable business endeavors with. And that may or may not be where everybody's thinking is right now. You may be in your own box dealing with your own situations or having your own short-term goals, and that's great. Or you and I just may not vibe to be having any intentions of working directly together, but I still hope that I can put some general knowledge out here and some quick and easy and fast tools to still assist you anyway, because I know they got thousands of people on my list. I can't befriend everybody on my list. So I'm trying to put as much information out in the free documents, free audios, the over 300 different blog posts on the website, the 10 hours of free video deprogramming series, the 30-something hours in the status correction course of videos and compilation of documents, study materials, etc. I try to help people that I never meet and only answer emails the best that I can, a large number of people. I try to help the several hundred people every month that we can talk to on the phone, and I try to help the dozen or so, couple dozen clients in any month that we can work much more directly one-on-one over a long period of many, many months or years on their particular projects or processes or situations. And then I also work with a handful of people that truly understand and have been very kind, grateful, and mature towards me and the other people in my organization. So what I would say, though, is that there's a lot of people that email me and they say, I'd love to have you be my mentor and I'd love to learn what you know and all this stuff. That's totally a possibility. I'm totally down with that over the course of, a couple year, a longer term relationship. I can't just teach you everything that I know in a second. But one of the things that you need to do your own research on to really understand, to get the maximum amount of benefit of, from what I know, the best way to get wealthy, which I can explain in future audios when I'm ready to talk about it. I'm still doing some, I like to be the, I like to do and have the results first before I tell other people, hey, go and do this, right? I like to be able to prove that my idea worked for me and show the results of my success before I just prematurely start talking about some concept that I haven't done yet. So you need to just be patient with me, and this is one of the reasons why I'm not really going to give you much details right now in this audio, but I think that's the responsible thing to do. You know, sometimes people will attack me and say, oh, why don't you give me the information on this or that? Just be cool, just, you know, crack open a coconut water and put your feet in the sand and sunbathe for a little bit. You know, good things will come, and if you're on my list, I will be glad to update you. There's a lot of good things I have on the way. Some of the things I just have to type out the right materials for and put the right contracts together and put the right invitations together and throw up the right websites, and all that stuff takes a lot of time. It's a full-time endeavor. It's a lot of time, and I have to balance a lot of other things too as well. So just talking about money, if you don't have this concept yet, this is probably the number one thing that you can self-study. You know, some of the most successful people in any area of life, whether it's health, whether it's people that find personal joy, happiness, and peace, and contentment, and fulfillment, are people that are able to advance their knowledge on their own without needing a one-on-one mentor all the time to just, you know, or without needing to pay for a consultation all the time, or without needing to ask someone to help them. And you know, it's very helpful to talk out the situation and bounce questions by someone, but when you can just, the people that are able to meditate themselves and or do, you know, if you guys ever heard of that tapping technique, thought emotional freedom techniques or thought field therapy techniques, people that can learn techniques like that and then tap on themselves, it's like a technique where you tap on your face and you say affirmations and you release emotional baggage. The people that can just sit there and be totally content doing that process themselves, not needing to go find a therapist, not needing to spend money every single time, can really advance their situation of, you know, whether it's releasing emotional baggage, finding better calmness and peace of mind through meditation. When you can do these things yourself, these are the most successful people in life. The people that can get to the top, the people that can advance themselves the furthest above everybody else and quicker and improve their situation, are the people that can do things themselves for a little bit. Same thing with health. The people that can be disciplined themselves to eat the right diet and don't need somebody to tell them what to do and follow up with them and force them what to eat. People that can do things themselves always wind up eventually being the top healthiest people, because it's a habit of discipline. It's the habit of being self-sufficient, not needing somebody else to get answers from all the time. Okay, it's definitely good to have mentors, but not all the time. 90% of your time is self-improvement and self-discipline and self-study. So I have a little self-study exercise for you all that wish to engage. One of the number one things you can do is really understand and embrace the system that we live under. What is money? Money in our commercial system of legal tender and so on and so forth, evidence of a debt is money. So when you can pull out a $100 bill, a $50 bill, a $1 bill, look at it and say, this is evidence, or this is a legal, the holder of this note has the legal right to demand payment from the United States of America. Or maybe you don't have the right to demand payment because they're bankrupt and they don't have any money, but or they don't have any they don't have anything, they don't have anything else to give you other than just that piece of paper, right? But they are an existing corporation that does raise revenue, that does have buildings, that does have cash flow that comes in. So you are a creditor to this corporation that, yes, we know since 33 they've been through bankruptcy, but don't any evidences of a debt still have value? You still at some point in time can demand, like, here's the icing on the cake. Once the United States is done with its bankruptcy and they are going back to having lawful gold and silver backing it, right? Once they're at a position where they can pay you back in, like, silver dollars, quote-unquote, can't you go to the Federal Reserve and give them your Federal Reserve notes and get silver coins? Yes. It hasn't happened yet, but it may happen. I mean, what if Donald Trump becomes president? He's like one of those, like, John F. Kennedy. They killed John F. Kennedy because he went against the Federal Reserve system and was on board with going back to gold and silver and all those things. What if somebody else down the line, what if another third party candidate down the line decides to reverse the system? Or, like I said, what if Trump starts running the country instead of deficits? What if we start paying down the national debt and then we are not a country that's $21 trillion in debt anymore? We actually eliminate all the debt, okay? So what if we go back to that? What if we go back to gold and silver? And even when there's a company or an individual that's going through bankruptcy, the people that hold the notes that even the third-party debt collectors can come to an individual's bankruptcy hearing and make a claim as a creditor, can they not? So even during the bankruptcy cycle of a corporation, if you're a third-party debt collector, you have some rights and some remedies, and you can certainly sell those to somebody else who will be the new third-party debt collector. So, you know, when you really understand this stuff, there's a lot of power to it, and just thinking on a daily basis about what those little notes are and what they do, and a promissory note between you and your friend, or you and a business partner, or you and a client, or you and an investor, or whatever, is the same thing. The holder of that note that says somebody else owes you money, just possessing that piece of paper, is valuable. And you can sell that piece of paper to somebody else, a corporation or a person or an individual or a man or a woman or a charity or a church or a religion or whatever, and then that new entity or individual becomes the holder in due course, and they are now the holder of the note and a lawful third-party debt collector, and the commercial code will uphold that, even though you're not the one, you know, they're not the one that signed the original contract with you. The commercial code will generally protect them and their investment in buying that note. Now, I know there's a lot of whole exceptions to third-party, you know, third-party debt collectors are generally, when it comes to, like, credit card debt and things like that, third-party debt collectors are pretty easy to get to go away, but I'm just trying to teach you the basics and the fundamentals, and some people may be way, way, way beyond all this stuff, and it may be second nature to them, but I'm trying to reach the people that are not. So, money is evidence of a debt, and a expressed, written evidence of a debt that has signature of one or more of the parties. So, promissory notes, bills, currency. You know, court judgments as well. And this is a big, big, big underlooked an underlooked issue here is that we all know about third-party debt collectors buying those promissory notes, right? The mortgage company or your credit card company or your student loan company may sell those promissory notes, and then you have these third-party debt collectors. Hey, I'm with so-and-so, you know, I'm collecting on so-and-so account. This is the account you opened with original creditor so-and-so. This is our company. This is our account number, and we're here to collect, and you owe money. Please pay on this account. Otherwise, you know, we're going to pursue collections against you. We can do X, Y, and Z to you. We can sue you. We can levy. We can do all these things to you. We're all familiar with third-party debt collectors that buy promissory notes or claim to have bought promissory notes or whatever. But the deal that they make with the original company is that they are going to be collecting, right? They pay the original company something, and they are collecting and can keep whatever they can get. But they're taking the risk that they might not be able to get anything from you, or it may take you a long time to get, who knows, less than the amount that they bought, or maybe more than the amount that they invested. One of the most underlooked things, and you know, you can become a third-party debt collector company, and you can buy promissory notes from people that haven't paid their bills yet, or that have open accounts, open revolving accounts. I mean, you can. It's one of the most. It's a very powerful way to run a very, very successful business. And there's ebooks out there and things like that on how to make over $1 million a year being a third-party debt collector. You know, like running the company and having employees call and collect, you know, debts from people. Now, that's not something that I would want to do if it was collecting against individuals, if it was collecting against just regular men and women of America that were just struggling to pay their bills and, you know, working hard at their jobs. I wouldn't feel right about that, so I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't help people do it. I wouldn't advocate it. I'm just kicking around some ideas. I'm just letting you know what is possible and opening up your awareness that you don't always have to be the victim. You don't always have to be the one on the other side of the fence. It's like you could change political parties anytime you want, or you can create your own political party, or you could create your own government, right? You know, you could think outside the box. You can take the red pill. You don't have to just choose between the blue pill and the red pill. You could take the green pill. You could take the purple pill. You could take the white pill. You could take the black pill. So part of this audio is, you know, and some people might criticize me and say, oh, it's just, you know, you're kind of going on a rant. You're not really giving us anything. But trust me, if you're open to letting some of these concepts sink in, I do have, and I will be announcing a lot of powerful things in the future, but If you're not ready for it, I'm trying to prepare you for getting ready for it. So now, what if you were a third-party debt collector and trying to collect against a big evil corporation like Bank of America or Wells Fargo or one of these big banks? Huh? Would you, if I could show you a plan, a business plan of how you could make, you know, a couple $1 million a year trying to collect money from Bank of America Corporation and all these big corporations or big pharmaceutical corporations or big you know, insurance companies or big, you know, big corporations that, you know, don't do good things, right? If I could show you how to collect money from Monsanto that we all hate, you know, the most hated corporation in the world, wouldn't you love to do it? Right? Wouldn't you be like, oh, I'll be a third-party debt collector against them. I'll call them up and borderline harass their office and ask them to pay their freaking bills, and otherwise we're going to sue them, otherwise we're going to collect interest. And I have no problem in my heart calling, you know, the CFO of Monsanto Corporation and yelling at, or some big, you know, nuclear company or oil company, and sending them bills and sending them lawsuits and collecting, you know, 300% more than they even took out in a loan, right? Yeah, I don't care about that. On the flip side, obviously, most of us would probably never want to be in a business where we tried to extract money from, you know, an 82-year-old great-grandmother who's struggling to pay her mortgage, and she's already paid her if the mortgage was $300,000 and she's already paid, you know, double that, and she still hasn't paid down the mortgage because of the interest, right? Over the time, don't people pay the mortgage down 300% by the time the mortgage is paid down, if they do? So I wouldn't feel good about collecting and extracting money from little old granny or anyone in America, hardworking men or women of America or elsewhere, of whatever country, Mexico, Britain, whatever. People that are struggling to pay their bills, we want to share this information about how they can get rid of their debt, how they can eliminate their debt, how they can avoid making, you know, all these crazy payments to the banks over the course of their life. And we have, I'll do a lot more trainings and audios, and there's a lot more information on the website, and we offer one-on-one support for people that want to do that, and for people that want to learn how to do that and help others. That's fine. But on the other side of the coin, what about collecting debts against evil people or evil corporations? Is anybody here, and you can shoot me back an email after listening to this, is anybody here, does it kind of like the idea of collecting money and making profit off of evil people being forced to pay bills that they're paying to you, or evil corporations that you force to send monthly payments to you plus interest, and you wind up making more money doing that than at your current job right now? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be something? Just think, and this is even an understatement of one of the business plans that I have, but let's say that you can make three times as much money than you do at your job right now by collecting money from big corporations that are not doing good things in the world, they're doing bad things in the world. Just an idea. Or how about bad people? How about child molesters and murderers and really bad people? Really bad, evil people. Would you feel okay with being a debt collector and making a living off of suing those people? Would you, if you could buy notes or other evidences of a debt, would you feel bad about it, or would you feel good about it? Just something to chew on for those that are ready for it. Listen, I apologize if this is kind of a rant and not giving any specific information, but I really don't know if a lot of people are ready for it, and it's only something that after you've really matured and advanced in all this stuff that you're ready for. What I can say is the people that listen to every single one of my audios and the people that have done the entire SPC done for you, done with you process at some point, okay, those people are added onto, and I can check and see all of the audios that you've opened and listened to. Okay, I have a tracking system in my emails. And it tells me if you opened up the email, how many times you opened up the email, if you clicked the link in the email. It doesn't give me any other information. It's not unethical. It doesn't give me any. I'm not like Google. I don't listen to you in your kitchen. I don't listen to you in your bedroom. I don't look at through the webcam in your computer. But I'm able to find out who on my list is opening up which emails that I send and listening and clicking the links in them and listening to them. So if you made it this far in the audio, now you get to know that. But I'm looking to help everybody, like blanket, and give people really great information to, you know, release some financial pressure, give people some tools, teach people how to get some, you know, sovereignty. But on another level, I'm really looking for the best of the best people to truly be advance their situation, you know, shoulder to shoulder with me. And I have a lot of things, a lot of business plans, a lot of things on the table, but not enough manpower just yet to really, and it's wonderful. I'm really making a lot of good friends, and a lot of my favorite clients I wind up just calling out of the blue and chit-chatting with when I need a break and just need to check in with certain people that I really like and have similar political beliefs with, and so on and so forth. But what I can tell you is that if you have listened to every single one of my audios and opened up every single one of my emails, I don't care if you listen to it right away or you listen to it 2 weeks after you get it. I don't care about that. I mean, nobody has time to listen to everything in real time. But those people and the people that are at least done the SPC for you, at least done that process and have their secured party, because I'm gonna need a lot of people that have those filings done for a particular project. The more people, the better. Okay, but it's a collective project that I'll be announcing to those people. But if you've done the SPC for you and you've opened up all the emails, listened to all the audios, at a certain time when I'm ready and prepared and launch certain things that are on the drawing board, only those people are going to get emails and text messages and invites when I'm ready. And I already have, you know, my favorite people on mind and so on and so forth, but it's kind of an open invitation for, because we can help as many people as are in the pool, and we can all benefit from this together. But understanding what money is and understanding and researching on your own, look up online about evidence of debt, look up online about third-party debt collecting. Maybe just do a little homework on that. That's a little homework assignment. Find out how you can become a third-party debt collector. And find out the legalities of it. And find out how simple it is. You know, find out, do you need a license to do that? Do you need to be a bank? Do you need any special... What do you really need? Okay? Just look into that and any other related avenues or rabbit holes or anything that comes up in your own mind. Because I'm looking for people that know more information than me. I don't know everything, right? But people that have something to bring to the table, and maybe when I start introducing some new concepts and strategies, of ways that people can make really a lot of money, I want people that I introduce that to already have a frame of reference and know and understand immediately. Light bulb goes off in their head and they go, oh yeah, I understand that, because I already researched this, that, and the other thing, and that, you know, it's that foundational frame of reference about money and these things, these bills of exchange, promissory notes, all these different things. The UCC is good, Uniform Commercial Code. If you had some reading in the Uniform Commercial Code. Now, you don't have to buy a Uniform Commercial Code book, because you can just type in and read it all online. One of my favorite sites is law.cornell.edu. And just every time I see, you know, when I've been studying this stuff for the last years, just copying all those, you learn about UCC 3-306 and this and that, and all that, just grabbing all those and typing them into Google and finding the law.cornell and just reading what the code says. And just, reading and rereading, and then you can go and you can get the whole thing. So, just some homework assignments. Again, sorry if it's kind of a rant, but, I'm looking for quality people that do their own research to an extent and have a really good understanding and are cool, calm, collected, and sometimes a little patient because it takes a lot of planning to do some of the things that I'm involved with. So, anyways, I appreciate you all, and I'll be coming out with more audio soon. Thanks for listening.